Our scripture reading this morning is a continuation from our scripture last week. Hear these words from Luke 6, 27 through 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will put you into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. That is the word of our Lord.
So our scripture text today, it answers a very basic question of how we live. I often say this following Jesus stuff, it's not just about, you know, what we do here on Sunday morning, but it's Monday morning at 8 a.m. and you've got to live your life, and how do you do it? That's where this all sort of makes sense. And so we've got a very basic problem of life that this scripture text addresses, and it's this. What do I do when someone has done me wrong? What do I do when someone has done something to me that I consider the wrong thing and has hurt me in one way or another? How do I handle that? How do I respond? What do I do in that moment? We've been there in big ways and in small ways. He made that comment, that joke about how I look, and he thought it was funny, but it hurt. She took something from me that was mine. He physically hurt me. What do you do when those things happen? Years ago, this guy knew that he was into fishing, and he had this fishing boat, and he wanted to take me out fishing, and so we're sitting out on the boat, out on this quiet lake, and it's, what do you do out there? You talk, and you tell stories, and he starts telling me the story about these business partners he had in the past, and they had done him wrong, or cheated him, or something like that, and he said, after he told the story, he said, you know, he said, I don't think I've forgiven them. Well, you've been there, haven't you, in one way or another? We've all been in that situation where you're like, oh, what do I do with that situation? And it seems like you have a few basic choices when you're in that place. And the first, maybe, is the retaliation path. You know, you did something to me, so I'm going to do something to you of equal and greater or greater value. I had a friend of my mom that used to say, I don't get even, I get ahead when somebody does something to me. Well, you've been there. There's a classic line to a movie, and I bet a lot of you will know it as soon as I say it here. Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. You know this movie, The Princess Bride, which I think a year or two ago, it was 20 years ago that it came out. But and I like the movie. It's a great movie. But you know it. Count Rugen has killed Inigo Montoya's father when he's very young. He tries to fight back. The Count Rugen leaves a couple scars on his face. And so he devotes his life to revenge, and he devotes devotes his life to becoming a great swordsman, and eventually he confronts his father's killer in battle, and he keeps saying those words, "Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die." They have a battle, Rugen begs for his life, and he says, "I want my father back," and kills his father's killer. Well, that's revenge, and nothing wrong with enjoying that movie, I enjoy it too, but we like those stories, don't we? Those revenge stories. They seem so satisfying, don't they? You hurt me, so I will hurt you back. Yeah. You said something to me that hurt, so I'm going to say something back that's going to hurt you just as much. You didn't invite me to your party. I'm not going to invite you to my party. We do this. It's the belief that inflicting pain will somehow relieve you of your own pain. You know, I will feel better if somehow I can hurt you in the same way that you hurt me. And when I verbalize and I talk about it, it seems so irrational. But we all have been there, haven't we? You know, somehow, if I inflict the same pain on you that you've given me, then somehow it'll make me feel better. I think I might have told you all this story once, but when I was moving to Montana, it was real cold, and my moving truck broke down, and I had to walk. This was before the time of cell phones, and I had to walk to a farmhouse, and this old guy at this farmhouse and trudging through the snow, and he lets me in eventually, and eventually he lets me use his phone, and I'm waiting for a callback from the rental truck place, and I'm sitting at this man's kitchen table, and he's telling me the story about years ago some guy had had stolen his girlfriend from him, and he told me he thought for years about killing this guy. And I'm sitting at this man's kitchen table, and I'm thinking, what have I gotten myself into here? But I understand the story he was telling. It's like, this happened to me, and it really, really hurt, and I wanted to hurt the person who caused the hurt. That's one path we take, isn't it? When someone has done something to us, we retaliate, we seek revenge. Or you can take the rollover path. Stop resisting and just let whatever it is happen to you. Sort of the doormat way of dealing with things. Instead of resisting, I'm just going to give in to whatever is happening. Someone calls you a name, you go home and sulk about it, and you think, well, that just stinks. You know, someone walks all over you, you just avoid that person or nurse a grudge, but you just kind of roll over. You know what I'm talking about? This is sort of the path of defeat. Where you say to yourself, okay, this happened to me, I can't do anything about it, I'm just going to sit and stew about it, or I quietly go passive-aggressive about it. I won't really deal with it, but I'll say bad things about that person behind his or her back, I'll give a cold shoulder, I'll ignore you, I won't deal with it. I find, I've been hanging around churches my whole life, I find this is sort of the chosen path of most church people here, is sort of the passive-aggressive route. We're not going to go to war against someone, but we'll bear a quiet grudge, won't we, for years and years. My church I pastored in Texas, there was a couple of families who, they just didn't like each other. They sort of uneasily coexisted in the church, but they didn't like each other, and I tried to dig in, what's going on here, what's this all about, and it was stuff that was 20 years ago, and things that I didn't even understand, but what happened was somebody felt hurt, and they just kind of quietly rolled over and never acknowledged it, and it just led to cold shoulders and uneasiness for years and years. That's another way to deal with it, isn't it? I mean, someone's done you wrong, you just kind of quietly roll over, go passive-aggressive. What do you do when someone has hurt you? You could just run. That's a path many of us take, and sometimes that's what you need to do, isn't it? I mean, and don't get me wrong, don't mishear me. There's a reason why in scary movies why people run away from the monster. There's a reason for it, and the reason is that monster is going to eat you, so you do your best to remove yourself from the situation. You run away. Sometimes running is what you have to do, and I don't begrudge that ever. I mean, but sometimes maybe it's not. Sometimes, isn't it, we'd rather than deal with our problems, we just try to run away. Rather than face your challenges, we try to escape them. I counseled at a week of church camp. It was a number of years ago, and there was I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 boys in my cabin. And one of the boys was just getting picked on by some of the other boys. And we noticed it, the adults, we noticed it. And he came to us and he said, "I've got this problem with these boys." And we said, "Okay, you know, we see the problem." And we said, "Okay, we're all going to sit down as a cabin and we're going to talk through this," which we did. And but the boy said, I remember, he said, "Can't you just move me to another cabin? Can't you just get me out of here?" And I know sometimes that's the best solution in certain situations. You know, just remove yourself from the situation. But I said to him, I said, "You know, those guys are always going to be with you wherever you are in life. Guys like that are always going to be there. And you can always run from them, or you can learn to deal with them." And so we had to sit down, and we talked it out, and things got better after that. But that running part, isn't it? That's very appealing when someone's done something to hurt you, just to run away. So what do you do when someone has done something that hurt you? Do you retaliate? Do you roll over? Do you run? Well, you can guess, can't you, that Jesus doesn't recommend any of those paths. Jesus says, when someone has done something that has hurt you, he says, take the initiative in the situation through love, forgiveness, and generosity. Jesus invites us to respond in a very different kind of way and to take control of the situation. Jesus doesn't advise any of the ways that we usually handle these kind of situations. This is what he says, and you've heard this already here today. He says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From anyone who takes away your coat, don't withhold your shirt. Jesus is saying not to strike back, not to roll over, not to run away. But he says respond in a way that changes the situation. Respond in a way that changes the aggressor and makes a new possibility for new life. Jesus isn't saying, okay, you know, do something nice so you'll really get underneath their skin and then you'll really get them because they... No. He's saying react to the situation in the same way that God reacts. And what he's saying is if God is kind, even to those who are ungrateful and selfish and hurtful, if that's who God is, then our behavior, the way we react, should be guided by who God is and the way God reacts. And so we react not sowing with more seeds of hurt. We react not quietly seething under the hurts we've experienced. We react not constantly running away, but we react, Jesus says, by facing the situation, by dealing with it, but we deal with it in a very different kind of way. You see, when Jesus talks about turning the other cheek, he's not offering us some type of doormat kind of philosophy here. He's saying you force that person to recognize that what he or she has done to you is harmful, but you don't respond with the same way that they've hurt you. Jesus invites us to love our enemies because he knows this is who God is. And God is transforming and redeeming the world. And we who love and know who God is are called to be agents of that same transformation. And so when someone does us wrong, we take the initiative, not with more hurts, but we take the initiative with God's love. Now, sisters and brothers, I talk about this like it's easy, and I know it's not. What Jesus advises is maybe probably the hardest way to deal with these kind of situations, but I believe it's the only way that brings healing. Do you remember in 2006 in Pennsylvania, in an Amish community, a shooter entered an Amish schoolhouse, tied up 10 girls. Eventually, when the shooter was threatened, shot the girls. 5 of the girls died. 5 were injured. Then shot himself at the end. Do you remember, within hours of this incident, people in this Amish community talked about that they had forgiven this man and they'd forgiven his family. And we were all shocked by that. How could you respond that way? How could you talk about words of forgiveness in the midst of great hurt and great harm that has been done to someone who is so innocent, who is a part of your community, but yet they were talking about forgiveness? And I checked up on this, and I read about people started to visit the community 10 years after this had happened. And one of the things they said was, they said they still, even 10 years later, struggle to forgive. But they said that their life as Amish people was about giving up to God, about surrendering to God. And they realized that they needed to surrender their own need for revenge and their own grudges. And they realized that keeping anger and resentment, that's only corrosive to their own hearts. And they said it'll eat you up if you hold it in. And so they realized, even that, no matter how hard it was, that they had to forgive. Well, sisters and brothers, that's a way of changing the situation. That's a way of responding that doesn't sow more hate and hurt, but begins to bring healing to the world. Now, I often say this, that forgiving or responding as Jesus asks us to do doesn't mean that someone who is abused continues to go back into a situation of abuse. It doesn't mean that you continue to suffer forever at the hands of a hurtful person. It doesn't mean you continue to allow yourself to be hurt. But it does mean that hopefully you act in a way that hopefully begins to transform the future. Now, I hope and pray that none of us are ever in a situation like this Amish community was in. But you know, I'm not telling you a secret when I say that we live in a world where there are plenty of hurts and pains in this world. And eventually, someone will visit some of those hurts and pains upon you, in big ways or in small ways. When that happens, you can't change the past, can you? You can't change what was done to you. But you can choose how you will respond. And Jesus asks something of us here when things like that happen, and he asks us not to retaliate. He asks us not to just roll over and be passive-aggressive. He asks us not to just run away. But he asks us to respond as God does. And hopefully, that's a way that begins to bring healing. Amen.